Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, the long-awaited and long-delayed Metrolink for Dublin has been given a sign-off by Cabinet, and details were published by the Minister for Transport today. The story of the Metro has been a sad saga, which has not gone, is now gone on for about 22 years or so, with 250 million euro already spent and not 1 metre of track to show for it. Well, the new start date is still 12 years away and 9.5 billion euros away as well. And that's if all goes according to plan. Well, later in the programme, I'll be joined by Anne Graham of the National Transport Authority to hear about the latest plans. But first, Fergal Keane has been painstakingly looking at the history of all of this. And we've been here before, Fergal, haven't we?
I've been here before several times. I think this is my fourth time reporting on various iterations of the Metro.
Maybe you're to blame then.
Probably is my fault. I'm jinxing it. But it's come in different forms and in different plans at least four times. And it goes back to 2000 when the Minister at the time for Transport was Mary O'Rourke. Since then, it's seen off ministers Seamus Brennan, Martin Cullen, Shane Ross, Leo Varadkar, and several others. And the cost has gone from 2.4 billion in 2002 to 9.5 billion today. And even though that has a contingency of 2 billion built in, it's likely to rise substantially again. Now, there was a nightmare figure mentioned today by Leo Varadkar that it could spiral to 23 billion. That's been denied by Eamon Ryan and been played down by government. But if you look across the water, in London, they've just opened the Elizabeth line at a final cost of 22.1 billion euros. And that has 41 stations. A back of the envelope calculation there is that each station costs 500 million. In the Metrolink, we'll have 16 stations. Same back of the envelope would put it at today's price, 8 billion. And that's even before you start building in any of the inflation we have now, the costs that are going to spiral on. And if you think that the Elizabeth line started in planning for starting in 2007, meant to take 10 years to build, it took 15 years to build. So we could be back here again with more figures.
And that's a lot of those costs in London would have been bedded down and in contract before inflation hit as well. So remind us about Metrolink. What is it all for?
It's meant to transform the city, essentially. It'll be mostly an underground rail link from Sores to the airport through the city centre and then onto what they call Charlemont, or what I'd call the Ranelagh area. It's will have a capacity to carry 20,000 passengers per hour in each direction, but you're going to have to wait a long time for the first train. It won't be for at least another 10 years, and that's if it gets through the planning process quickly and they can start construction in 2015. So the line will be 19.1 kilometres long. The trains will be fully automated, meaning that they won't have drivers, and that's the case in many European cities, like the Paris Metro is now almost fully automated. Then it will connect the Dart and Lewes in various locations, and it really will transform the areas it serves. But there is a lot of cynicism about this announcement today because of the disappointments, the delays, the overruns in public procurement and in getting this off the ground. Mm-hmm. If you think of the Children's Hospital, just a case in point in how costs can get out of control.
Yeah. What has delayed this project before?
Yeah, since it was first mooted in 2000. It's gone through various guises. Now, once it was meant to link up to an underground line from Houston Station to St. Stephen's Green, where there was meant to be a major underground station, that's gone. There was meant to be a Metro West running from Liffey Valley and Clondalkin, now abandoned as well. Then there were rows over the route where along the north side it was run. There was then a major controversy about what would happen in the Ranelagh area. It was meant to run overground, but there were interventions by local lobby groups, including most of the TDs in the area, including Eamon Ryan. It will go underground there now. The only advantage they have at the moment is that all that procurement and consultation has been gone through in the past and they have a decided route. So after a lengthy consultation process, planning was applied for eventually in 2008. It was finally granted in October 2011, right in the middle of the financial crash. And just a month later, November 2011, the then Minister for Transport, one Leo Varadkar, announced that it would be postponed indefinitely and made major cuts to capital spending. So then 4 years later, Metrolink was announced again. It was announced that it would cost $3 billion, begin operations in 2027. And already $87 million has been spent on that particular version. But it's at that stage you could almost hear the train coming down the line, to quote the phrase. But the last delay, it was last year. It was now to be delayed for another 6 or 7 years with no guarantee that trains will be running by 2034. So the cost then has almost doubled in the last 7 years. Today the base cost was put at $5.8 billion, that contingency fund line for inflation and other unforeseen circumstances put it to $9.5 billion. But even then, there doesn't seem to be any certainty about what these trains are actually going to look like. When you look at various iterations of the plan, they all look different. They're getting sleeker, more modern. Who knows what it's going to look like?
Yeah,
in
what the final design will be exactly. Look, I don't think you're fully to blame for the delay. We'll tease that out at a later date. Yeah, very okay. Good, Keane. Thank you very much. The Cabinet has been given the green light to the mega project, as it's called. Minister for Transport Eamon Ryan is proceeding with the Metrolink mega project, he called it, saying it will transform public transport in Dublin. A planning application will be lodged with Unbowered Planála in September, with the project set to be up and running by the early 2030s. That's what they're saying. We're joined now by the CEO of the National Transport Authority of Ireland, Anne Graham. Anne, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac. Good evening.
I can't wait to talk to you about some of the detail on this, the detail that we've been given so far. We're told that private sector partners will fund a quarter of this. Is that right? But a quarter of what? Will it be $9.5 billion or $23 billion?
$9.5 billion, because that's the cost, that's the central cost that we're operating on at the current, with the current preliminary business case.
Mm-hmm. So they'll only be on the hook for a quarter of the smaller amount. And what if the cost balloons to $23 billion?
Well, obviously, we'd have to see what percentage of the cost will be associated with the operation and the proportion of the construction that will be transferred to the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But the higher end cost now that has been quoted is really building in for an extreme level of risk and contingency and inflation. So if you look at what's been presented today, the NTA and TII and now the government have given approval on the basis that the current estimate and the best estimate of Metrolink, the construction costs of Metrolink, is $9.5 billion.
Yeah, but I don't know about that, Anne, because $9.5 billion, but there's a contingency for inflation, which is spiraling, it seems, out of anyone's control at the moment. And there's also unknown risk allowance for something going wrong. So my question to you is, how do you quantify the cost of unknown risk?
Because we have a specialist that we engaged, the TII engaged, Oxford Global Projects, and they're a world leading expert in major project costs, and they advised us on the level of risk contingency that should be included based on their experience of similar projects that have been built before. So they look back on the outturns of different projects, similar projects that have been built around the world, and they advised us on what's the appropriate risk contingency associated at different risk levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you get the different cost ranges associated with this. But the base cost, which doesn't change, is what is the estimated construction and other costs. That's $5.8 billion. And then you build on top of that the risk contingency allowance and then an inflation allowance. So inflation has now been recalculated now based on the current rising inflation. And projected now across the delivery of the project. So that's why there's an increase
very often,
2 billion.
Sorry to cut across you, Anne. But so inflation has been built into the contingency. The increased cost of labour, I suppose that's included in inflation as well. Has there been a contingency built in for a change in design? Because we often have changes in design when we get down to the nuts and bolts of a project like this.
Well, if this project is now going to go forward through the planning process, and that may result in some changes associated with the railway order, the planning permission that will be granted, that we hope to be granted by An Bord Pleanála. And after that, you would then estimate the costs again and whatever contingency and inflation associated with that.
Okay.
So it
could in fairness go beyond the 9.5 if there is a significant change in design. Has there been a contingency built in for delay or legal challenges, for example?
Well, not for delay necessarily, except that in the cost of the project, we've costed what the delivery is going to be up until the early 2030s. So if there's a delay, obviously that does increase the cost, but there's enough, we believe, risk and contingency built in to cover the potential of that kind of delay.
I mean, you're building in contingency for inflation, building costs, change in design. How come you haven't built in a contingency for delay, given that various projects, including the Children's Hospital, for example? Oh, have we lost Anne? I hope we haven't. We'll try and get Anne back if we have. You can text us to 51551. Adrian says, while we're getting Anne Graham back from the National Transport Authority, I specifically want to ask her about this before we move on to other elements of the Metrolink plan. Adrian in Dublin says, why don't they just build a spur of the Dart to the airport? Far cheaper, says Adrian. We'll see about that. I particularly want to ask Anne. You're back, Anne, are you? Okay, I think we have Anne back.
Yeah, sorry, Cormac.
Okay, no, you're okay. You're okay. I particularly wanted to ask you about delay and why you haven't built in a contingency fund for delay, because you look back at various infrastructural projects like the Children's Hospital, but maybe more on point here, the Lewis, that was significantly delayed. And the original cost of that was £227 million. It went right up to £765 million. So why not factor in delay?
Which Lewis are you talking about there, Cormac? Because the Lewis Cross City, which is the most recent one where the TII and NTA have been involved, that came in on budget and on time.
No, I'm going back to the original plan was 1997, isn't that right? And the costing then was €285 million. Exactly. But then you see,
I haven't got that information before me.
The reason I'm asking you this is it's right on point. There was inflation at the time, right throughout the Celtic Tiger years. There was changes in design. There were legal challenges as well. And there was delay, and that ballooned the cost of it. And it just, why haven't we learned from that experience?
But that's what the risk and contingency allowance is for. It's to allow for potential costs associated with, you know, with unforeseen circumstances, which could be a delay associated with either a challenge or some other delay associated with the project. So it is built into the risk and contingency. It's to allow for all these kind of contingencies that you can't foresee at this stage of the project.
Okay.
And so that's why it is built into the total cost.
Will you have to use CPO to compulsorily purchase some houses or dwellings or facilities that may be in the way of the route of the project?
Yeah, there is a CPO required as for part of the construction of the stations in particular, and that was set out right through the public consultation in terms of the emerging preferred route and the preferred route. The alignment is very clear there, and the property owners would know at this stage, you know, what properties would be involved. But that then gets done on a statutory basis through the railway order process.
Okay, that will cost an awful lot, I assume. It's to be a fully segregated route, almost 20 kilometres, 16 stations, most of them underground. running from north of Swords to Charleman Street in the south city of Dublin.
That's right.
So that's a lot of communities that need to be consulted here. And I assume a lot of communities that could object.
Well, obviously, as I said, we have gone through, TII have gone through a very significant public consultation as they developed these designs, and would have been meeting communities right through that process over the last number of years. So we, naturally enough, the communities can object to planning. That's part of our planning process. But we would hope that in the TII, in terms of their designs, they've worked through a lot of the issues that were raised through the public consultation to minimise the objections that may come forward in the future.
Yeah, but you know, when it actually happens, people might think, okay, I know I went to the consultation, I heard what they had to say, I thought I was okay with it, but I don't want to leave my home. And people might feel like that in the heel of the hunt. How quickly do you think the planning process can be completed?
Well, we've set in our timeline, or TII have set in their timeline, that we've assumed about an 18 months for the planning process to take place. And that doesn't mean that we stop and wait, you know, for the to receive that planning in order to commence the procurement. We'd be seeking approval, or TII would be seeking with ourselves for approval to commence the PPP procurement in early 23. So we would be ready, and they would be ready to engage with the market and to issue tender documents at the earliest possible stage in order to get the construction underway as early as possible.
So construction probably starts, all going well, early 2024, is that right?
No, 2025, by the time we get through the tender process.
So you reckon then that you could have this operational within 5 years or 5 years plus, is that right?
The early 2030s.
Get away. I fail. Why am I so cynical, Anne? Am I wrong to be so cynical about the timeline then, given the history of major infrastructural projects in Dublin and in Ireland generally?
Well, if the construction commences in 2025, we estimate it will take about 8 years to construct, to get to operational stage. But once you have a contractor on board and you've gone through the procurement, you know, the contractor will be incentivized to get that delivered as quickly as possible, as will the PPP operator to get the fleet and all the signalling equipment done so that they can operate the services and move to operation as quickly as possible. So everything and all the agencies involved will be working to deliver this as quickly as possible, because that obviously keeps and reduces the cost, the overall cost.
We'll still, based on demand and the crisis we have, we'll still be in a housing crisis in 2025 by the looks of it. Where will we get the construction workers to build this project?
Well, this is obviously a major construction project that will see many international firms be interested in this. And like, tunnelling is an expertise that will be available outside of this country. And we were brought in from outside this country. So we would expect to see an international firm delivering or assisting with our construction.
So they'll be brought in, basically. Where will they live?
Well, that's something obviously for the contractor to work on. But obviously, yes, it's challenging when you're doing any activity and trying to encourage any construction activity at the moment and provide for the extensive construction that needs to be done across all our projects.
Yeah. No answer. I wouldn't expect you to have an answer on that. Sure, it's 2 years away, but we'll still have a housing crisis and. There is no answer, I suppose, to that. And €219 million, almost a quarter of a billion euro, has been spent in this project to date, and not a train has moved. Can you explain to people how that is?
Well, a proportion of that was related to Metro North, and obviously that project was brought forward by the Railway Procurement Agency at the time as part of the overall strategy to deliver public transport at that time. And it was a very good project and was obviously needed at the time. But unfortunately, the economic crash just meant Ireland wasn't in a position to invest in that level
that money
of
is gone.
Infrastructure. So a proportion of that was used and is still of value to the current
Metrolink project. What proportion was of value for this project?
I think about 60 million of that 100.
Wow. 60 million only. So you're talking about, my maths are, 160 million has been wasted. Is that right?
So I said 60 of the 166 million.
Oh, excuse
but
me.
You have to understand that, you know, if this the design work that is involved in the project of this size does result in a significant cost. You know, there will be consultancy costs, there will be design costs, there will be ground investigation costs, and even just, you know, bringing it through the planning process. So that all had happened with Metro North, and unfortunately it wasn't able to proceed because the government wasn't in the position to be able to fund it at that time.
Okay.
But now what we found is that we've used the time now in looking at the Metrolink project now to actually make it the project even better, because there's better connections now with
okay.
our other services, which will mean it'll be a much better project for the people of Dublin.
I'm sorry to do this to you, okay, but will you give me one sentence to finish, Anne Graham of the NTA? Will you say to me, Metrolink will be operational by X year and will cost by X amount?
Well, what I can say is the early 2030s, because we can only operate on the basis of that it will be delivered in a range of
okay.
years.
Okay, so let's say by 2035, let's be generous.
And 2034.
Okay, and it will cost?
$9.5 billion.
Anne Graham of the NTA will talk again about this, I'm sure. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.